Recently, I saw a flock of geese in that classic V formation. How do they do that? You don't see the goose who's leading this V pause in midair and turn around and say, "Fred, move to the left a little bit. Billy, you're out of line. Move right." They just know. How do they know? But then again, how do birds know about murmuration? Watch. These birds, we don't know what kind they are, were seen over a lake by some girls in a kayak, and they filmed them apparently dancing in the sky. They don't seem to be going any particular place. They change direction on a moment's notice altogether. Scientists aren't even quite sure why they do this. Some suggest it has something to do with reproduction. Others, it's to avoid predators. But they don't know. All they know is that every once in a while, and maybe you've seen this, I've seen it in very small quantities, a whole mess of birds decides to do an air dance. And they come and they go in amazing ways. And then they get on with their journey. How do they do that? Well, we're looking again today at birds in this sermon series wherein we've called it God's aviary because birds are prominent in the Bible. And we're looking at five of the birds. We've looked at the raven and the eagle. Next week, the hawk and then the dove. Today, the sparrow. And we do so because they are mentioned in the scriptures as teaching mechanisms for a reason. And today, we know that even Jesus talked about the birds. At one point, he said, "Even birds have a nest where they can lay their head, but the Son of Man," referring to himself, "has nowhere to sleep." And so, we're not surprised, but maybe a little, that Jesus talks about one particular bird, the sparrow. Now, mind you, in Israel of the time, there's lots and lots and lots of species of birds, as there are everywhere. You can't go anywhere in the world without seeing birds somewhere. And so Jesus decides to do a teaching, but he uses not a well-known, maybe a famous, maybe a beautiful, maybe a popular bird. He picks the most common, everyday, routine, powerless, ordinary, tiniest little thing, the sparrow. Because sparrows are the most populous bird in the world. They're in every state of the union, and they're just everywhere. You probably don't even notice when there are sparrows around. That's how common they are. Oh, bluebirds? Oh, yeah. They'll get your attention. But sparrows? Probably not. There are 90 species of sparrows in America itself. And around the world, some 300 different species. Because they're so common and so often overlooked, I think today they deserve a one-minute documentary. Let's watch.
The house sparrow is considered to be the most widely distributed bird on the planet. It is native to Europe, Asia, and parts of Africa. It was also introduced to the Americas, New Zealand, and Australia. In North America, it was introduced to several U.S. cities in the 1800s as a way to control pests. It then quickly spread across the continent. This move was considered to be a mistake because the house sparrow is an aggressive bird that will take over the nests of native species, such as the house martins and bluebirds. These house sparrows have taken over abandoned goose swallow nests. The house sparrow prefers human-affected areas, such as urban, suburban, and farm environments. It is rarely found in wilderness areas such as woods, grasslands, or deserts. These sparrows prefer to eat seeds and grain, but will also feast on flowers and insects. The house sparrow is one of only three birds in the U.S. that is not protected by law from hunting. The other two are the rock pigeon and the European starling.
So now you know a little bit more about these common everyday birds, which perhaps you don't even like because you have bird feeders. How many of you have bird feeders? You feed birds? Do you really want sparrows eating all your seed, or would you rather the really pretty fancy birds come up, right? So we get it. These are the common, everyday, powerless, unimportant little birds that are just everywhere. And Jesus chooses the sparrow for one of his primary teachings. Listen to what he said again. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your heavenly Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid, for you are worth far more than many sparrows. What does it mean then? What is Jesus trying to teach the disciples? And that's the people he was speaking to in this context. What's he trying to teach them as he's about to send them out on a mission for him? Well, first of all, I believe it means that God knows you personally. That God knows even you. So we're being compared in the teaching to sparrows. God knows the sparrow. Jesus is saying, therefore, God knows even you, because you're worth a lot more than sparrows. At one point, he said, the two are sold for a penny. That's a reference to the temple worship in Jerusalem, where whoever went to temple had to bring an offering. And some brought an offering of a lamb or perhaps a goat. But the poor people couldn't afford anything else, so they would bring sparrows. And they could buy them at the temple trading post, two for a penny. That's how minor they were, how unimportant. But Jesus says, God, your heavenly Father, knows a sparrow, even when a sparrow falls to the ground. So that means, Jesus is saying, God knows you personally. And this is an important matter because in my experience dealing with lots and lots of people over a long time, a lot of folks don't believe that God really knows them. They don't believe that they are worth enough or valuable enough to be known by God. They're just an everyday routine person. They're just unimportant. They're just kind of lost. And maybe some of you feel that way today. Why would God know me? After all, I haven't done anything important. Maybe I've done some things bad. So why would God know me? After all, we're not the TV stars. We're not the people that everybody wants to be with. We're not the ones on Twitter that everybody wants to follow. We're not the ones with millions of Facebook friends. We're not the sports heroes. We don't have lots of money. Oh, all those folks, everybody knows about them. But who are we? Insignificant, unimportant. But Jesus is saying, God knows you because you're far more valuable than two sparrows. And God knows the sparrows. Once in a restaurant, a mom and a daughter, age 5, were having breakfast. And the mom wanted to kind of teach this little girl some responsibility. So it was time to pay the bill. And so she gave the check to the little girl and a $10 bill and sent her up to the counter. She walked up and the woman was standing behind the counter and the cash register was there and people were coming. And this little girl just stood there with her money in the check. And an adult came by and stepped right up, and the woman, the cashier, took hers but didn't respond to the little girl. Then another person came up, an adult. She paid her check. This little girl just stood there for about 3 or 4 minutes as other people came and went. Finally, the girl goes back to her mother and says, Mommy, Mommy, they think I'm invisible. Have you ever felt invisible? Unimportant, as if you don't really matter. I had an opportunity to drive in near New Hope, Pennsylvania this past week, going to conduct a wedding. On my way, beautiful cardinal flew right in front of me as I was driving slowly on this country road. I turned my head quickly and followed it for a moment. Oh yeah, cardinals. Beautiful, colorful birds. They get my attention, probably yours. I couldn't begin to tell you how many sparrows flew in front of me, if any. But if they did, I wouldn't have noticed. Do you ever feel unnoticed? And do you ever wonder, does God really know you? Does God really notice you? And so Jesus says, yes, God knows you by name. In our next service, we will baptize several babies. We will baptize them by name. We will acknowledge that God knows them by name, even as God knows you by name. It's an amazing, incredible thing. How can that be in a world filled with billions of people that God knows you? But He does. And Jesus is saying that. The second part of the meaning of this then is that God not only knows you, but God cares about you. Just the way God cares about the sparrow who falls, says Jesus, God cares about you. One of the great and sad tragedies of life is that people feel that others don't care about them. Have you ever felt uncared about? Overlooked, forgotten? Nobody cares, we say. Nobody calls. I have a need. Even in the church sometimes this happens and nobody cares. Nobody says anything. Ah. Yes, humans often fail to show care. But God always cares. And God cares about you and what's going on in your life right now. And that's what Jesus is teaching. Every once in a while, I invite people to church all the time, every week. Every once in a while, I'll invite someone. I maybe not know them too well. You know what they'll say to me? Are you kidding? If I come to church, what? The roof will fall down. Yeah, yeah. Well, by the way, folks, it's been here for a long time. It's never happened. Do you know where that saying comes from? It comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, the teaching in the Old Testament. It says, if someone is too lazy to work, their house will leak and the roof will fall in. So that's where that comes from. But what people who say that to me are really saying is, nobody really cares and God doesn't care about me. Maybe I've done something wrong. Maybe I've wandered. Maybe I've been lazy. Maybe I've just gotten angry at God. God doesn't really care about me. But that's not true. Jesus is saying, God, our Heavenly Father, not only knows you, but cares about you. Once a little boy told his dad that there was a birthday party he wanted to go to about 3 blocks away. And it was a January birthday and he was getting all excited. The blizzard came up. And this blizzard was really strong, raging snow, but the party was still on. And the little boy said, Daddy, can I go to the party? Can I go? Can I go? And the father said, I don't think so. The storm. Oh, all the kids are going to go. I just talked to Billy. He's going to go. Can I go? And the father said, Okay. And so the little boy bundled up in all of his winter stuff and was ready to take this 3-block walk to his friend's house, which he had done many times, but never in a blizzard. And he starts walking and it takes him twice as long as before. And he's trudging through the snow and finally he gets up to the door of the house and he rings the doorbell. And as he's waiting, he just kind of turns around. And there, out of the corner of his eye, he sees his father, who has walked behind him just to be sure. That's the kind of God we have, who cares for us, who's always watching over us. Not necessarily a God who always keeps us from trouble, that's another message, but always knowing God cares. God cares about you. God knows you and cares about you and what's troubling you and what's worrying you and what's scaring you. God knows and cares about you. So then, what's next? What does it mean? If God knows us and God cares about us, then there's a message here that is at the heart of this teaching. Because if God, Almighty, Omnipotent, All-Powerful, All-Knowing God, the Creator of the universe, the one who always has been and always will be, if that God, our Heavenly Father, the Father of Jesus Christ, knows and cares about you and me, you don't have to be afraid. You can live a life without fear because God's got your back. Think of it this way. Let's pretend it's a football game. And you got two teams, right? So the first team goes out on the field and they're getting ready. After the kickoff, it's going to be the first play. So one team's out there getting ready. And then your team. About time the coaches call the huddle now. You're going to run out on the field for the first play. And you're running out there. And in addition to the other players, God, Almighty God, is running out there with you. The other team, they watch you run onto the field. They see the God's on your team. What happens? Almighty, all-powerful God on the other team, on your team, they start talking, they start shaking, they start passing out. One guy passes out. They all start running away. After all, who's going to fight God? It's an image, but it's true. That you don't have to be afraid of whatever you're facing because God's on your team. And when God's on your team, you have no reason to fear. And fear is a terrible thing to live with. In the 90s, you recall the horrific genocide in Serbia. When one country, after the fall of communism and the new republics were being formed, when one country started fighting with another. Serbia wanted to ethnically cleanse Bosnia. Don't you hate that phrase, ethnic cleansing? What the heck? But they did. Thousands of people died. In one particular massacre, more people, women, men, children, were killed than at any single moment since World War II. One of the tragic results of that there were lots of orphans. And in a particular orphan one day, the nurses with lots and lots of these orphans, victims of war, were being taken care of. And they couldn't get them to sleep at night. Night after night after night, these victims of this horrific violence would just cry all night. Everything they did made them was not successful. Finally, one nurse came up with an idea. Knowing that these children had been starved, systematically starved, she decided, let's give each of the orphans a piece of bread. And they did. And as they fell asleep, holding a piece of bread, the children were calm and peaceful, for in that bread was their security. Well, isn't it fascinating that we call Jesus the bread of life? And that we, therefore, have nothing to fear if we hold on to this bread, this living bread of Christ. Friends, we've referred to this past week in our country. And you have a decision to make every day but today about all of this. You have to decide whether you're going to live in fear or not. Whether you're going to let all the brokenness and sin of this world and this country, whenever and however it rears its horrific face, you have to decide if you're going to live in fear. I, for one, will not. I'm not going to fear life and I'm not going to fear death because fear is a horrific place to live. And you don't have to fear because God knows you and God cares about you. Now that doesn't mean everything's going to work out hunky-dory. It does mean God's on your team. And you don't have to live in fear. And so that's a choice you have to make. If you believe, as I do and I pray you do, that if God knows the sparrow, God knows you. And if God knows you, our loving Heavenly Father cares about you. And if God knows you and loves you, you have nothing to fear, ever. May that be how you choose to live every day. Father God, we thank you for such a clear and simple teaching as this. Through the humble, simple sparrow, you remind us today that you know us by name and you love us, everyone. So help us in faith to so believe this truth that we live fearlessly and faithfully today and every tomorrow. Amen.